Oak Session number 12542, Reel 2.
Mr. Philip Perry, Reel 2.
Yes. And the door opened faster than I expected it to, and I fell with my legs on the pavement. And Ernie upstairs heard me, and he came downstairs and he dragged me upstairs. And he said, Bessie's got a meal for you. I says, So I sat to the table, and it was rings of conger. She'd fried rings of conger. And I said, take it away. I said, I want to go to bed. Now I went to bed. Now I laid on the bed and blew my shoes off. And Captain Hammer from the Mermaid then, came to Sark, to Guernsey, and my father wanted me back. So he said, is Philip here? So I heard him, and I came downstairs. Yeah, I'm coming. He says, come to Sark. I said, right, I'm coming. And I got down to the White Rock on my bare feet, with only my socks. I'd forgotten I didn't have any shoes on. So I had to run back and fetch my shoes. And I put my shoes on and got back. And when he said, where have you been then? Oh, I said, they've had a hell of a do. I said, D-Day. So I said, have you got any water? Yeah. And he gave me some water. And instead of getting sober, I was getting worse. I drank and drank and drank. And we arrived to Sark. And they all pretended that they all thought I was shell-shocked. My father said to my mother, you be careful because he's been shell-shocked. She thought I was shell-shocked. I was drunk. I'd been drunk. So I went to bed. The next day I was better.
So you thought at D-Day that it was going to be liberation?
Well, we thought it was, yes. But we had to wait another year.
On Guernsey and Jersey, they got the Red Cross parcels from the ship Vega.
Vega, that's
did
right.
Did they come here?
The Vega didn't come, but we had some parcels here as well, yes.
How many parcels did you get?
Oh, God, I don't know. One each. I think they came twice, eh?
You got just two parcels each.
Yeah, I think it was two or three parcels, no more.
What was in the parcels?
There was butter, cheese. Oh, God, I've forgotten now, but
tea and coffee?
Tea and coffee, yes. And dried fruit, dried bananas, and apples.
Cigarettes?
And cigarettes, yes. Yes, that. Nothing else, really.
Were you glad to have them?
Oh, we were, yes. For a change, you know. Change of diet. Yes.
Did the Germans show any interest in the contents of the parcels?
Oh yes, but they left them alone. They knew it was for us. They left them alone. Yes.
Were the Germans in a bad condition?
Some of them were. Yes, yes. They were. Oh, there was one big stepping bloke when he first came to the island, and a little breeze like there is today, he didn't go out because it would have blown him over. He was 6'6". This bloke, and he was that width, and when he was finished, he was no wider than that, and you know, and at least a little puff of wind blow him down. He said that he'd never begged and he'd never asked any favours, and he wasn't going to ask any from anybody.
You told me that you used to threatened to report Germans to their commandant.
Oh yeah, one Sunday, I was walking down, having a walk down, and there were, the German was milking my father's cows in his can. What do you call them now? These jerry cans or belly cans or
billy
cans. And they were milking in his billy can, and I walked up very slowly, and I said, "Ah," I said, "I've got you this time." And I said, "I want to report you." So I said, "Report you to the commandant." He says, "Please, sir, please, mister." He says, don't. He said, "I've got to rush her." I said, "Well, you shouldn't be doing what you're doing." I says, "You're milking the cows." "Oh, no," he says, "I'm very sorry." He says, "Right, give me your cigarettes." So he gave me all his cigarettes. gave me his cigarettes for a week. His week's ration. And I didn't say anything to the commandant.
What did you do with the cigarettes?
I smoked them.
Was that the only trouble you had with the Germans?
Yes, it was.
Were there any Germans on the island who did misbehave?
No, not really, no.
Did any of them misbehave with the women on the island?
Not really, no. No. We were very fortunate. We were a close-knit family then. No. We were poor, we didn't have any money, but we were just as well without it. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever think that the Germans would always be here on the island?
No,
that
no.
That they would win the war?
They wouldn't, no. We were always sure we'd come up at the top.
Even when the Germans were winning all the battles?
That was funny. When they were winning, we had to report and take our wallets. They weren't allowed. When we were losing, they'd allow us our wallets. When England was losing, we were allowed to listen to the news. But when they were winning, we weren't allowed. We had to take them. So one day at the commandant, and we have to take our wallets back. We had smiles on our face. "You are smiling. What do you smile for?" "Because you're losing." Me, big mouth. You're losing. We're winning." And they didn't like that, but he just didn't say anything more. No. He didn't ask any more questions.
He just had to accept
it? He just had to accept it, yeah.
Did you have any cat's whisker radios?
Oh, yes, we had, yes. We had some, yes.
Did you have one in your home?
I did have one, yes.
Mm. Who made it?
A friend of mine in Guernsey. And I fetched it, and I buried it in a basket of grapes. Buried it under the grapes and brought it here. And my father had pneumonia 3 times, and the doctor was attending him, German doctor was attending him, and my father used to fall asleep with this in his bed, and he had the receivers over his ears when the doctor walked in, because German doctor always knocked at the door and walked straight in. And walked straight into the room, and my father was fast asleep with his earphones on. I thought to myself, I'm in for the high jump. And only 4 or 5 years ago, that same doctor came here and he mentioned it. He says, have you heard any more news? And I knew what he meant. He says, I took those earphones off your father's head and put them under the bed. He's for in case somebody else came and see him. He says, I says, thank you very much. He says, I knew he had them. And he said, but I wasn't going to say anything.
So you smuggled the Cat's Whisker radio from St. Peterport on the ship?
That's right, yes. Mm. You had to pass customs and they come, have you got anything to declare? I said, only a basket of grapes. And away I went.
So they didn't search?
They didn't search, no. But rather, whether I had an honest face or not, I don't know, but they let me come through.
Mm. Were there any British raids on the island?
There were three, I think. There was three. There was one, there was two at the Oxback and one at Guldio's.
Air raids?
No, commando raids, yes.
Mm. What do you remember when the commando raids took place?
Commando raids, they came here when it was, I've forgotten now whether it was New Year Eve or Christmas Eve. I've forgotten. But they came and they landed and we were having a dance at the hall. They used to allow us to dance occasionally. And they used to give us a permit, providing we kept everything dark. We had this dance and we were all happy and dancing together, the locals. And then we used to have mock sales, auction sales. We used to take matches, eggs, candles, anything like that that we had. We used to take them to the hall and sell them. And some Jerry's used to probably get cash. They used to put on these eggs, and we never used to let them have it. We used to buy these eggs between us and then get the local to stand on the, that was our party play, stand him on the stage and cack him and suck him so the Jerry's didn't have him. Yeah.
And you were telling me about the commandos landing.
Oh yes, well, that part and parcel of it, that we never saw them, you know, we never saw them come. It was after we were at the dance, and after the dance we all went home, and it was next morning that we learned that they'd landed and there'd been a devil of a rumpus. And the dame saw me and she said bad news. She said, we've lost two men last night, they landed in Oxback. I said, I don't think. She said, yes, there was a raid last night. Oh. She said, there was two of our soldiers lost. So I went home and I told my parents. So the commandant sent his batman home for our horses to go with the van to fetch the coffins to put these bodies in. And the signory horse had to go as well. So I had to go down to the D car and he had to go down to the doctor's place. And as to I'd never felt so keen to help them as I did that morning. So I got the coffin now backwards in the room, and this body was laying on the bed all covered up, and I caught the sheet and I took it off him, and he was dressed in uniform, German uniform, so I was satisfied it was a German, it wasn't an Englishman, so I could go and tell the dame it was nothing to worry about, it was a German that was dead. There was another one that been clobbered, he's at the bandaged up, he was alive, but you know, only just.
So there was only one killed?
Two. There was one at the at doctor's house. There was two that day.
Was the other one British or German?
No, they were German. The two of them.
Both German.
Yeah.
So the dame had got it wrong.
Yeah. Yes, she'd heard. Well, they would have liked to have passed it on to for Amaral. See, but I got over that. I'd never been thrown out of a window like I did that night, that morning, because they grabbed hold of me. He was so mad. He grabbed hold of me by the scruff of the neck and the seat of the pants, and he threw me out through the window.
For looking at the body?
For looking at the body. Mm.
Who was it who threw you out?
German officer. Mm. But I could roll like a ball. I couldn't care. I learned what I wanted to learn anyway.
So you were the one responsible for telling the island that it
was
German.
That's right. Mm.
You said there were two other commando raids?
The two commando raids, yes. And we lost two the following raid at the Yogsback. And French Canadians they were. He was more... the body's still there. One of them, one body was exhumed, is it right way?
Yes.
And taken back to France, but in the war cemetery. But the other one was, they had a big service a few years ago. They put in a proper tombstone. This Lummy. I'll show you this afternoon where he is, his stone, because it's nice stone and it's very nice. And I always take a puppy there on puppy day. I always stick across with a puppy.
What is his name?
Lummy, I think it was Lummy.
Did you hear much shooting when the commando raids took place?
No. We didn't take much notice because they used to skirmish at night. They used to have their skirmishes at night, so we didn't know whether it was...
Their training.
Their training, that's right.
What about air raids? Did any air raids occur on the...
No. Only once they had a dogfight. There was a dogfight, and they dropped their bombs in the Manoir Garden by the prison. You know, I showed you the prison.
You did.
Yeah, they dropped the three bombs in the garden. They blew one or two panes of glass. That's all. But they fell in the garden, the soft ground, and it didn't make much damage. You know.
So nobody was injured.
Nobody was injured. No, no.
What did much bartering take place on the island during the
amongst
war?
Ourselves, amongst ourselves.
Exchanging things?
Amongst ourselves, yes.
What type of things did you exchange?
Well, people with potatoes that grow that couldn't grow Swedes, they barter the potatoes for Swedes. And clothes or anything like that, shoes, all that was bartered, you know. Mm.
Was it a boring time for you as a young man during the war, or?
No, I think it was it was boring, if you like. It was like what I don't like about it. It was like taking 5 years out of your life. You had 5 years cut off your life, you know. Just imagine being a teenager like me, prevented from going out in the evenings. You had to be in by 9 o'clock. And they had dogs, Alsatian dogs, to help them to patrol at night. So me was, I wanted to go out regardless. But there was no good running away if they had dogs with them. Dogs would find you. So the best thing for you to do, it was to make friends with dogs. And I used to take big potatoes, those potatoes big as my thumb, my finger, boil them. And I used to carry a pocket full of potatoes. And I used to speak to these Alsatians in my language. And I used to feed them in their enclosure. So in the evening when I used to meet them, they'd never say anything. I'd say, hello, come on. And I'd give them a potato and they'd come and see me home. Unknown to the Germans.
So it was your way of getting around the curfew.
That's right, yes. I remember one night leaving Beauregard, and it was lovely big moonlight night. And walking down by Beauvoir, opposite the Seigneurie, and I heard this growl coming. So I said, oh, Alma. I remember her name, I'll never forget that name. Alma, she was called. And I gave her a potato. She wagged her tail, and I gave her another one. And the officer came and he challenged me for my identity card. And if I'd given him my identity card, the dog would have bitten him, I'm sure. Yeah. Boy, they were thin. Oh, God, they were thin. They were like wafers, the dogs. They used to feed them only on the minutest little thing. They used to be ready to eat anybody up, I think.
So the Germans did that deliberately?
Deliberately, yes. Keep them savage. It wasn't pleasant to meet them, but that worked. Those potatoes worked.
So you used to break the curfew?
I used to occasionally, yes.
Often?
Often, yes, quite often. More often it was good for me, really. My poor father and mother, I think I used to worry them unnecessarily, I think. When we were liberated, when the liberation came, I was visiting, and I called in to listen to the news at midnight. And Sir Winston Churchill said, 1 minute after midnight tonight, 1 minute after midnight tonight, Adyarchan Islands will be liberated. And I ran home from where I was down to my place, and I shook my father up. I said, come quick and give me a hand to put the flagstaff up. And I says, the war's finished. He said, God's sake, he says, go to bed. He says, one of these days you're going to embarrass me to lock you up, because he was constable at the time. So the war's finished. Said, go to bed. Right, so I went to bed. But then I said good night to him, and I thought to myself, I can't get anywhere here, so I'm going down stocks. And I got down stocks, and I got a handful of gravel, and I threw it at the window. Mr. Ford came out. The window, he said, oh, now who's there? I mean, Mr. Ford. I said, come downstairs, have you heard the news? Because Stocks was full of Germans. Excuse me. Full of Germans. So he says, yes, I've heard the news. So I said, come on. I said, I'd like to put the flags up. He says, flagstaff, we've got no rope. He says, we can't put the flagstaff. I said, I'll fetch the bunting and whatever you've got. I said, I'll cut call up. So I cut called up, tied the thing there, came down with the thing, and we dressed the front yard full of red, white and blue and all sorts of colours for when the Jerrys woke up in the morning, they pulled their blinds and they saw this. So walked on. I was happy.
How did the Germans react?
They didn't say anything. They were dumbfounded, you know, they were, because they did nothing. They'd all been done. And Mr. Four, we had to sample his 21-year-old slow gin, Mr. Fall and I. And I walked home, and all the barricades, they put up the meadows. I just pushed them aside and walked up home. And my father then had heard the news in the morning and gave me a hand to put the flagstaff up and put the biggest Union Jack we could put our hands on flying at the top of the mast. Yes, and there was Albert Leinbach. He was a cabinet maker in Germany, and he was one of these that wanted to be friends all the time, and he used to pester me, and he'd say, have you got anything for me to do? And by that time, when the war broke out, we put the flagstaff in the cow stable from one corner to the other, because it was too long to put on one side. Oh, I says, well, yes, I says, we've got this flagstaff that like needs painting and scraping, because it was full of fly blows, you know, in the cow stable, it was full of fly blows. So me going fishing, I got him some duckfish skin, and he sandpapered this, oiled it, painted it, and it was like a new pin. And he says to me, he said, there you are, he says, it's ready for when we've won the war. I said, when you've won the war, we put it up. It's like that, see. Played with him. So when that morning he came, after we'd been liberated, and he saw the Union Jack at the top, the biggest he could ever wish to see, and his face dropped. It was a picture to see. His face dropped and he turned around and he walked off. I've never seen him since.
Speechless.
After all the work he'd put on the flagstaff.
What was his name?
Albert Leinbach.
Which town did he come from?
No idea.
But he was friendly with you?
Yes, he was so much, yes. But I think he's dead.